Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this June 7th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here. In part two, we're going to talk with Tria Kimball from Wisconsin Rapid City Band. Looking forward to talking with them right now. Joining us on the phone lines, our good friend, Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug. Scott, where are you calling us from?
So, today I'm in Excelsior Springs, Missouri, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's a new location.
I'm at a hotel called The Elms. It's most famous for the 1948 election night. Harry Truman stayed here the night that he was infamously thought to lose to Thomas Dewey, only to wake up the next morning with the headlines reading incorrectly that he had lost the election. So it's a little famous hotel here in Excelsior Springs, Missouri. And the reason I'm here is I'm at a national conference for state legislatures where the election chairs from across the country are meeting today, talking about election integrity, restoring confidence in elections, comparing notes across the states, talking about best practices, how we can help everybody across the spectrum and across the country understand how safe, fair, and free our elections are. So it's a pretty cool conference that the 20 or 30 of us showed up for from around the country who chair election committees and run election stuff in our states.
And I'd love to get into this conversation sometime with you. Most famous political stories. I wonder if the Dewey one is the most famous political story. It's such a common one. Even kids that I like, students I have in like 18, 19 know about that story. It's such an interesting one.
Not to go into it too much, but I mean, it just tells the difference of technology from then till today is that the paper had to be printed the night before. And when everybody went to bed, they figured that this was going to happen. And that didn't turn out that way. So
I'm sure nobody felt worse than Dewey and his people that he was representing and everything. But I'd also feel pretty bad if I was the reporter. I don't know how good your career is going to look after that. It's going to be pretty rough. Speaking of good. I'm sorry, Scott. Go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing.
Being able to trust our journalists, trust our news, talking about what you're there for and talking about election and confidence in our elections, what are some of the bigger things you guys are discussing or you're hearing?
Well, it's really interesting. I just left a session right now where we were just meeting with Charles Stewart, the professor from MIT, who really dives into not only just the data of elections, but the psychology of elections and really talking about, you know, there's four things that people really dive into when it comes to trusting elections and the trustworthiness of elections. And what those four things really boil down to is that almost everybody that gets surveyed across the country feels that their elections back home, when they put their vote in the box or put it on the screen or however you do it, 90% of people surveyed say, yes, I feel confident that my vote was counted the way it was supposed to be counted. And then as you spread that survey out, if you go statewide, if you go regionally, if you go nationally and say, how confident are you that votes were counted somewhere else that they were supposed to be counted? Then that number just dips like precipitously, right? Because it's not right in front of your face. You didn't see it individually. You didn't touch the screen yourself. The people's trust in elections isn't their local election. It's other people's local elections that they don't get to see as much. So I think one of the things we've got to, you know, really work on resonating is building faith and confidence in other people's elections that you don't see yourself. Because if you have a great experience at your polling place, you're even more likely to say it's a great election and it was run right. If you're, and you know, the fourth one obviously is if your candidate wins, then you know the election was run right, right? But there, those two things, I think, is just showing people that just because it didn't happen where you saw it, doesn't mean that, you know. So that's what we really boiled it down to today, is trying to figure out a way to resonate that message and broadcast it that, yeah, you know, your local elections are run great, but look over here in this county or look over here in this state. This is what they're doing, too. So that's where we've got to work together as legislators, start broadcasting success stories of our elections more than the problem stories of our elections.
The veins, the organs of this country are democracy and voting. And, you know, people believing in their vote, believing that it counts, believing it that it is accurate, that it is being accounted accurately and all these things, they're very important things. I will never make light of any of that, no matter who is asking the questions or anything. But, Scott, you and your colleagues there, I wonder if there is certainly the side of this, what you were covering there and talking about making sure that people are informed. There's another part of this, too, to me, and I push back on some of the people that are going back, to two other elections or things like that. I'm talking about current ones and upcoming ones. There's a part of me that is thankful, and maybe I'm just scraping the barrel here, thankful that people care, that they're that engaged about this, that they are going out. And, you know, recently this week, we had in central Wisconsin here, had some of our election workers having an open kind of town hall and letting people come in and talk. If you question our elections that much, go ahead and work with those people. Go ahead and get to work on election day. Volunteer. Put your money where your mouth is. I think that again, I'm scraping the barrel a bit here, there is some encouragement that, hey, people are at least caring. Every year we see the amount of people that vote on a given election, even a presidential election, and those numbers aren't nearly as high as they should be. So I'm curious if there is some of that also in play here from you and your colleagues that you're seeing this.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you look historically, and I'm a data geek, I'm an elections data number geek. I mean, it's Christmas morning when I talk about election numbers. I love this kind of stuff, right? But if you look back 25 years, even in the state of Wisconsin, turnout amongst every category was much lower than it is today, actually, right? So people are engaged. We can do better. I mean, we're, 60-65% average in presidential elections for turnout. We can do better, but 25 years ago when there was people that just never voted before, now they're all engaged. So yeah, we are having to answer more questions, having to put on more open houses and more forums and more communications, which is great. I don't have a problem with it. But I want people to understand that you need to find somebody that you trust, that you know, that you personally know, and take their word for something that's happening. Or actually, like you said, just go work an election. Mm. When we just sit back and watch what happens on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, obscure news websites, and just take those as the gospel on elections, it is absolutely the wrong thing to do. So that was the third component of trust. Is just find somebody locally who you know, that you trust, that can tell you the scoop on what's actually happening on election stuff. And that's why I feel so honored to represent, central Wisconsin and the state of Wisconsin and chairing the, Assembly Elections and Campaigns Committee. I mean, it all fits in great. That's all I'm doing between now and Election Day, even with our committee in Madison, besides conferences like this that I'll get to this summer. We're actually still going to have informational hearings in our committee in Madison over the summer leading up to the election, just so we can keep dispelling myths or helping people understand things that are actually happening in our elections, or find problems that we can work to change. And we're working on those right now. Actually, we had a hearing on May 16th, where we had the DOT, Wisconsin Elections Commission, Department of Health Services, who all worked together to help verify identities for individuals on their driver's license and state ID cards, come and talk to us about how individuals who are permanent non-citizen residents of Wisconsin could possibly take an ID and vote. So we had that as a discussion, like how much does it happen? Is it really a problem? Is it a real thing? So now, following that hearing, we're working with those departments to get all the data that they already have together that they don't compare somehow, some way right now, which was the thing we found out in our hearing, is that, well, we don't know. Well, we should know, right? Even if it's not a problem, I just want to be able to bring back the data to every election clerk in the state of Wisconsin and say, hey, I know you didn't have a problem. Some people thought it was. I'm going to take the time. We're going to dive into it. We're going to show you if it's a problem or not, by just taking simple data points and comparing things. So we're just going to dispel myths all through the summer, or we're going to identify problems and fix them.
Mm-hmm. Scott, is there any other big topics you all are discussing at the conference?
Really just getting going. So we've got another 6-7 sessions yet today that we're going to get through and spend all day Friday here and into Saturday morning discussing with a little interim break this evening to go out and see the Kansas City Royals over at Kauffman Stadium. So I had to throw that in.
Oh, you did. Oh man, that is like top three stadiums I want to visit. Oh, you just had to throw that in there, didn't you?
I had to, right? Okay, so that's what I tell these people when they ask me if I want to come to a conference or if I want to be a speaker somewhere. I say, okay, there's two rules I have. One, I either got to get to a baseball game and hit a new stadium, or two, I got to get to a state capitol and see a new state capitol. So where we are, just outside of Kansas City, Jefferson City is too far to see the capitol. So, you know, I guess I'm just going to have to go to the ball game tonight.
You don't get a whole lot of things to look forward to with this gig. I think that's awesome. I think that is completely understandable to have in a contract. I would do the same. I would do the very. In fact, I might Bauer yours if I ever become a representative. I'm going to keep just piggyback on what you were doing there.
Right?
So yeah, like you got it.
The last time was in Indianapolis, right? So the really cool thing about the last elections conference for NCSL was in Indianapolis, where right across from the hotel was the minor league. Indianapolis Indians game, and then right across the street the other way was the state capitol. So I got to do both of them in Indianapolis. So
nice. We're speaking with Representative Scott Krug from the Assembly District 72. And Scott, recently you were honored with something pretty cool here from our RV organization.
Yeah, it was a surprise, right? So Mick from Greenway RV and I have been working on a bill for 6 years. He's wanted this so bad, and he's worked with us to try to help get it across the finish line on just kind of settling out where dealers and manufacturers intersect in the state of Wisconsin, and more technical stuff for people in the general public, but it's important stuff for people in the industry to be able to transfer their ownership and not lose their categories and things like that. So over the years, I've built some relationships not only with Mick, but other RV dealers locally, statewide, and even nationally at some of these conferences that I go to, like I'm talking about, where now they saw the success of the bill that we got through and signed into law and actually awarded me a national award from the RV dealers, the manufacturers, I should say that you're the guy nationally that's recognized as being top on our issues, which is cool because I mean, my wife and I are avid campers. I mean, we live in our camper in the summer down in Delwood more than we live at our house in Rome. And we really do live that lifestyle. So it's kind of one of the coolest ones I've ever been given, you know, individually, not only because it's national, but because it's something that we live and do every day.
And it's earned. It's something that I think that it speaks to why we have, representatives from our area and from every area that's listening, you know, out there and stuff. So that people, issues that you may not know about in another town or another city, but you do from here. So it gets represented. It gets talked about. It gets out there.
Yeah. If you look at, you know, compare Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point and Marshfield, for example, and you just look at our industries that we have available in Wisconsin Rapids, much more tourism based than Marshfield or Stevens Point is, right? So you look up and down East Street and up and down Highway 73, what do you see? You got an RV dealer here. You got an RV dealer there. You got an RV dealer there. I mean, so things in your community that are the things that you take back to Madison and you talk about. And if you're really good at your job, those things rise to the top. They become bills. And if you're really, really good at your job, you can convince the governor to sign them into law. So, I mean, it just shows your effectiveness over the years just to work on things back home and not get caught up in the headlines and follow all the BS that you hear everywhere else and just do your darn job. You know, there's something to be said for that type of approach to this.
Scott, I wanted to note two things about your e-updates. I know a lot of people look forward to them, get caught up on a lot of information that way. You can find those e-updates by following Scott on social media. Facebook is a great one to go to. Type in Scott Krug and like and subscribe to what he's doing. You are going to be taking a break from the e-updates. I did want to let everybody know that, just as a side note. You're going to be pretty darn busy coming up here. But one of the things you will find out if you are keeping up on those e-updates and looking into them, this law known as the 50-piece rule. I wanted to talk about that a little bit, Scott.
It's one of the most antiquated state laws I think we have. Sometimes I struggle with the purpose of it, but I get it. I mean, so the 50-piece rule basically says, as of a date certain when we're out of legislative session hitting campaign season, we cannot use state resources to broadcast anything that's getting accomplished, which is unfortunate in a way because, like I said, with our elections committee, we're still ongoing. We're still doing work every day. There's still things I want to get out to people, but I can't do it through the e-update anymore, according to state law. So it's going to be hard to get information out besides doing radio or, you know, maybe print articles in the paper. But our e-update subscriber list is some 20,000 individuals in the district. So it is really a useful tool to help people understand myth versus fiction and things like that. So I struggle with, you know, the 50 piece rule sometimes, but I also get it. It's campaign season. Some people could take it as being, you know, campaigning with state dollars or something like that, but it is what it is. It's just a rule that says during campaign season, we can't communicate just that way, but we'll find other ways to communicate that information back to people.
With it not being a commonly known law, I think it's important to get out there, but I also think it's interesting. And do you think that there is a better way to do this? I think we can both see the essence of the rule, but in today's day and age where we don't, going back to the whole newspaper thing, we don't have to wait until the next morning to get our news. It's happening every second. Do you think that there needs to be an adjustment to this?
And we've tried, right? Because we've got in the state of Wisconsin, even under my committee's oversight, we also have the Ethics Commission, right? So we've got elections and ethics in my campaign committee. We have a very thorough and good ethics division that if something came out that was ethically blurring, that maybe a legislator could be told, okay, you can't do this or you can't do that, as opposed to saying you just can't do anything. So, I mean, there's got to be some gray in there besides just the black or white. You can do it or you can't do it. And I think we can dive into that a little bit, saying these are topics that are off the radar that you can't use, but these are topics that you can still communicate back to your constituents because they're still your constituents from June until November, right? I mean, that's the one struggle that I see with it, is that there's got to be some gray area, that there's something that can get back to our constituents that ethics can oversee and kind of, you know, bring people out on issues when they do show up. So,
Scott, we get so many things that we have going on. Don't always get to catch up on some stuff. And this is going back to March, but the Wisconsin Act 12 that provided a significant increase in state aid and shared revenue to local government. Can we touch on that for a second?
Yeah, this is probably the most monumental thing we've done in the last 10 years in the legislature, and I can't talk enough about it, because not only did we find a way to take the dollars that local municipalities send to Madison and let them keep more of it in every municipality of the state, but we also solved some Milwaukee problems that have been ongoing for like 30-some years or more, like the pension problems in the city of Milwaukee gave Milwaukee the chance to decide what it's going to be so they can fund critical services while they were supposed to. They didn't quite follow through as much as they should, but that's another story. But I think locally for every one of our counties, our municipalities, this is going to be something that's going to be a game changer, because you can use these shared revenue dollars for certain things, whether it's police, EMS, fire service, you know, those critical services, but it can also be dedicated towards transportation projects. I mean, we've given the opportunity to keep more of your local tax money for every municipality in the state. And I think one of the biggest ones, actually, like Adams County saw like a 2,000% increase in their shared revenue, because when the formula was created, they were at a low point and it was locked in back in 1990. So Adams County has been behind the ball on getting some of the dollars that they send to Madison back. So we got a 2,000% increase for our county government in Adams County. Which being on the Adams County board was a godsend in a way, but it's also been something to try to help people understand, you know, now that we have more local money, we've got to make responsible local decisions on these boards and how we're going to use it. So we stuck ours all into the sheriff's department, which I thought was the best way to do it in Adams County, but everybody will do it a little bit different, but now everybody's got at least a little bit more opportunity to fund some of their critical services.
Scott, as we're wrapping up here, I did want to send a shout out to a local grade school that joined you in Madison recently. Grove Elementary came and visited the Capitol.
Yeah, heck yeah. I mean, that is the one thing. Like, there's anything on my calendar any year when I'm sorry to the rest of the schools, but if schools coming to the Capitol, I don't care what's on my calendar. It's changing, right? Because that's my origin story, right?
Yeah.
My fourth grade field trip from Grove School to Madison was where it all started for me. So, I mean, just getting the chance to go back every year when they do come to talk to the kids from Grove and say, hey, you know what? I was exactly where you were. I'm not going to tell you how long ago it was, but I was exactly where you were. I saw exactly the same things you're seeing, and that's why I want to be here. And that story resonates a lot more with kids from Grove when I tell it, you know, because I tell it to a lot of schools that come through, because I want them to know how relatable we are and how realistic it could be for them to do this. But when I tell that story to Grove School kids and Grove School parents, you can see the eyes widen a little bit more and you can see a little more excitement in it. So, I mean, that is my ultimate favorite thing every year is when the fourth graders from Grove get a chance to come to the Capitol.
And not for nothing. You and I have talked about this before. I think that, it matters. Accountability matters. And our politicians are not, they need to have accountability and they need to be questioned on things. But at the same time, when we have generation after generation of parents just sitting there and yelling at their TV screen or their radio, complaining about politicians, and little kids grow up and hear that, how often are they going to be likely to get into politics? These things matter. We need good representatives. We need good politicians. Democracy needs this. Our country needs this. So these things really do matter. And those stories, if that resonates with one kid and we got a future Scott Krug out there, worth it, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, if you just you equate that out to what's going on in Congress right now, where you see mass retirements throughout the entire country of Congress people, Republicans and Democrats, who on their announcements just say, you know what, this just isn't worth it anymore. This is just too crazy. This is too stupid. I am not going to put my life through this anymore. I'm not going to make my family go through this anymore. I mean, every single announcement, they all blatantly just come out and say it. I know most leave because of it anyways. But now it is the thing that wasn't being said out loud.
Right, yeah, like, they're saying the quiet part out loud.
We're dumbing ourselves down, people. Try to figure out how to work with your reps or elect new ones, but don't tear them down to the point where they just say, forget this. It's a different world out there right now.
Your Brewers are in action tonight in Detroit. Brewers are 5 games up over the Cubs in first place. It's got to feel pretty good the season so far.
See, like I tell you in April and May, I don't talk about them until they're close to the break and they're up a few games. Mm-hmm. So now we can start talking Brewers. I don't feel like I'm on jinx anymore, but they've got some really cool young kids. Joey Ortiz, I mean, the guy's like, you can't say enough about all these kids and this team. I still think they're wearing themselves out pitching wise. They can't get starters to go more than a couple innings a game apparently, but they're going to pay the price for that if they don't pick up a couple starters here at the deadline. But they're doing all right.
I will say that they're not alone there. A lot of teams going through that right now. I wouldn't even know who to say has a great starting pitching or a great bullpen right now with the way it is, all the injuries that baseball has experienced. I'm a huge fan of Sal Frelick. I could just watch a game with him just out in the outfield. Just put the camera on him and let me watch his fielding. And Bryce Terang is another one that has been a lot of fun to watch and everything. It's a fun team, but I got to say, Pat Murph is my favorite thing about that team right now. I just look forward to his press conferences and everything. I love the way he's handling this.
I said a little bit last month, right? And I'm glad we get some chance to talk about this time. It's just, he reminds me so much of Lou Brown from the Cleveland Indians from Major League. He's just the ham and egger, the I didn't expect to be here. I don't know what I'm really doing, but we're going to figure it out. Let's go kick their butts, So quintessential of that, and it's just so cool. And I last thing on Brewers, and if anybody get a chance to follow the Brewers at all, don't watch a lot. I mean, at least make sure that you get on Brewers radio at some point this year. It's probably one of the last years you get a chance to hear Bob Uecker. If you haven't had a chance to listen to a Uecker game in a few years, you gotta do that. You gotta take advantage of that gem before he retires. So.
Yeah, a legend, a goat in this state at that microphone, and one of our favorites always. I'm catching every inning I can of Uecker, every bit I can. Scott, great conversation as always. If people have follow-up questions, want to know more, how can they reach you?
Yeah, anytime. Phone, text or call anytime, 715-323-3293.
I appreciate the time, Scott. Thanks for joining us. You take care and safe travels out there.
Absolutely. Take care, and we'll see you soon.
See you soon.